the more I prayed, the madder I got because I just couldn't get any peace. So finally, I looked up and I said, okay, I confess. In all the years I went to church, I never really learned how to pray. So by God, if you want me to pray, you're just going to have to tell me what to pray. And as soon as I said that, there was a massive explosion of brilliant blue-white light.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour.
Thank you for tuning in for what's going to be a seriously special episode of Live Your Best Life this week with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And my friend, my special guest joining me for today's conversation, she is the founder of Global Sons Ministries. She has walked in a radical, sold-out, intimate relationship with Jesus for over 40 years. She's ministered in over 140 countries to the poorest of the poor, to presidents, to heads of industry, to people groups that have been unreached, to tribes, including former cannibals. I mean, her life is just one long God adventure. She lives in a level of supernatural life regarding her health and her energy and the miracles that she moves in. It's just, she's a real forerunner. She's an inspiration. And she's also an author of two incredible books. One is called Limitless, Living the Life of an Overcomer. And her most recent one is called All Creation Groaning. It is, of course, my joy to welcome into the conversation with me today, Nancy Cohen. Nancy, welcome.
Well, thank you, Liz. I'm so grateful for the opportunity of just spending some time with you. I tell everybody everywhere I go, you just have to meet Liz Wright. She just oozes love and light, and it just flows out of her, and it's visible. You can actually see. I love that.
Thank you.
It's my privilege to be here with you today.
Thank you, Nancy. That's so encouraging. It's all we want, isn't it? Just to radiate him at the end of the day, just to live in that incredible place that you live in of union. You know, the privileged life now that we get to live. And then just to reveal him, you know, and that's what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Yes,
so, it really. So, Nancy, I want to start by asking you, I know some of your incredible stories, so we can go there, but I wanted to ask you about the first time you encountered Jesus, because I don't know the story, and I'm sure everybody watching who doesn't know it would love to know what happened to you, how your amazing life began.
Well, actually, I was raised in a very liturgical church that was very legalistic. And in order to be able to qualify to take communion, you had to go to catechism classes 3 hours a day, 3 days a week for 3 years. And you had to have an oral examination in front of the whole congregation in order to be qualified to take communion. At that time, I had a photographic memory, so I just memorized the whole catechism, and when the time for my test came, I passed with flying colors. I just quoted what was written in the catechism. As I stepped out of the pulpit where I was standing to take this oral test, I looked at all the elders on the front row, and I said, oh, Lord, if I could ever be like them, I would really have arrived. And at that time, I had no idea that God even spoke. I hadn't been saved, hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was no such teaching in that church because it was very liturgical. So anyway, I heard this inner voice, and this inner voice said, really? Well, he's having an affair with his wife's best friend. She had an abortion last week. He's stealing from his boss. She's cheating on her taxes. And he just went down the row. And I don't know how I knew this as a child, because I didn't even realize God spoke. But somehow I knew it was true. And so I turned against the things of God and ultimately became a nationally campaigning atheist. And I actually traveled all over, did TV programs telling people God's just a figment of your imagination to give you an excuse for things you can't understand. Jesus is dead. He's in the grave. He's not ever coming back again. And I'm so, so thankful that God had other plans for me because I was very anti-Christ spirited. And in fact, my journey began when one day we built this beautiful, beautiful home out in the country. But in order to get to my home, you had to pass by this filthy little shack. And when I say shack, I mean they nailed linoleum on the outside to keep rain from coming in. Anyway, there were people living there that I considered to be less than I was, because my whole thing for my husband and I both were money, power, position, prestige, community recognition, all those kinds of things. Anyway, my daughter Shannon struck up a relationship with a little girl who lived there, and they were outside playing one day, and a rainstorm came up, and she ran into that little shack. And I thought, now I'm going to have to go to that shack and get her out of that place. So I walked across, and when the man of the house opened the door, Jesus music came flying out. And I thought, oh my God, they're not only stupid, dumb, ignorant, poverty-stricken hillbillies, but on top of that, they're Christians. That's like the lowest link on the ladder, you know? And I grabbed Shannon and I walked her back home. I said, don't you ever go to that house again. Those people are not our kind of people, blah, blah. Anyway, on that day, when the man of the house opened up the door, he got a word of knowledge from God. And that word of knowledge was, I'm going to use this woman in the nations of the world to win millions of people to Jesus. And your assignment from me is to pray for her every day until she gives her life to the Lord. Well, a very brief period, 2 to 3 months after that, my husband and I moved 2,000 miles away to Texas, and I never thought about that man again, and I never did. Anyway, there's a whole story that goes with all of that, but he took his assignment seriously. And for 7 years, he and his wife and their little hillbilly church, and I can call him that with all love because we developed a very deep relationship after I gave my life to the Lord. And I tell people this story all over the earth. And so anyway, he began to pray for me. And for 7 years, I remained very anti-Christ spirited. And then one day they went to a seminar by Kenneth Hagin on how to win the lost through spiritual warfare. And they came home and they began to put those principles into action. And the next thing you know, I began to hear audible voices. And I liken it to the cartoon where you have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder. And this voice would say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup. And then this other voice would jump up, you know, God is only a figment of man's imagination. This one would say, but I loved you so much. I gave my only son for, you know, Jesus is dead. He's in the grave. He's not ever coming back. And these voices were actually audible. I could actually hear them as well as I can hear your voice. At that time, I had 3 very large, prospering businesses. And these voices went on 24 hours a day for 7 days. And I got to the place where in 7 days, I didn't have 5 minutes of sleep. I'd lay down at night and I'd hear this voice, go somewhere and pray, go somewhere and pray. And I remember walking down, I had a real estate brokerage firm, and I was walking down the hall one day and this voice is following me, go somewhere and pray, go somewhere and pray. And I got so indignant, I just shook my fist at the ceiling and I said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in prayer. You can't make me pray. You can't make me pray. And I'm shouting at an invisible voice in the ceiling. And all of a sudden, all my brokers are peeking out their door going, oh my goodness, she's flipped her lid. Anyway, after 7 days of no sleep, I couldn't think. I couldn't function at work. In the middle of real estate closings, these voices are still going, still going, still going, and I couldn't concentrate on anything. So finally, on the 7th night at 1 o'clock in the morning, I thought to myself, if I don't get some sleep tonight, they're going to have to put me in the hospital and shoot me up with something, because I was so sleep deprived, I couldn't even think anymore. Mm-hmm. So I lay my head down and sure enough, here comes this voice. Go somewhere and pray. Go somewhere and pray. So I sat right up and I don't think I really wanted Jesus, but what I did want was some sleep. Okay, so I sat bolt upright in my bed and I shook my fist at the ceiling and I said, Okay, you want me to get out of bed and pray? I'll get out of bed and pray. Then go away and leave me alone. So I got out and I got on my knees. And I, like I said, I had a photographic memory. So I get down and I'm praying all these old rote memorized prayers I learned. And I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, our Father who art in heaven. And I'm just blurting out all of these. And the more I prayed, the madder I got, because I just couldn't get any peace. So finally I looked up and I said, okay, I confess. In all the years I went to church, I never really learned how to pray. So by God, if you want me to pray, you're just going to have to tell me what to pray. And as soon as I said that, there was a massive explosion of brilliant blue-white light, and it just all I can say is it came with thunder and lightning, and it scared me so bad I fell on my face and I covered up my head and I started crying, please don't kill me, please don't kill me, because even as an unbeliever I knew that's probably what I deserved. But I mean, I started repenting from my toes all the way. I went back to stuff I did before I was even born. I remember at one time in the middle of the night, I say, Lord, I'm so rebellious. When I was only 7 months in my mother's womb, I used to kick her on purpose just to make her hurt. But this brilliant light was so, so amazing that at one time I had like 4-inch white carpeting, white shag carpeting in my bedroom. And I lifted up my face because I didn't want to look at the light. But I went to wipe my hand across my face to get the carpet, and my eyes are swollen. I have snot all over my face. Anyway, I lifted my hand up, and all of a sudden, I could see every bone in my body, everything inside of my body, like I'm in an X-ray machine. And I could turn around, look at the walls, and I could see the 2x4s behind the plaster in the walls, and I could look down and see red construction markers on the concrete underneath all of this carpeting. And I just put my head down and I just kept praying and praying. My husband and I had been married, we were married over 50 some years, and he never ever slept past 5:30 in the morning. But that day he slept until 7:30. And at one time I thought, how can he sleep through this? I'm screaming, I'm crying, I'm yelling. And he's like, sound asleep. And I thought, why doesn't he get up and help me or something, you know? And of course, today I realize the Lord just had that slumber on him so he could finish his work. And by the time he woke up, I was still on the floor. But by then I had had a true divine revelation of who Jesus was. So when he looked down and he said, what are you doing down on the floor? What are you doing down on the floor? I said, oh, honey, you're just never going to believe it. Jesus Christ was sitting right here on our bed. And he looked at me like, woman, you have flipped your lid. And he actually went and called our best friend, who was a psychiatrist, and said, you better get over here right away. My wife is a long walk off of a short pier. Anyway, that was the beginning. And so the very next day, I went out and bought a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I hadn't allowed a Bible to even be brought into my house. If somebody came and they had one, they had to leave it in their car because they couldn't bring it in my house. And I began to study like 20 hours a day. Or also at that time, I just wanted to preach the gospel. But of course, I have no qualifications. So I would grab every homeless, drug-addicted, prostituted, alcoholic person I could find on Skid Row, and I would bring them all down into my house. Oh, you just have to know this Jesus. He's just so beautiful. He's just so magnificent. My poor husband would come home. Our whole house would be full of homeless people. It's really a miracle that we could stay married, because he did not have that revelation, and he just thought I was crazy, but he loved me.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
So beautiful. Obviously, like literally from atheist to on fire for Jesus.
I mean, in one day.
Right. Encountering him like that, the power and glory and brilliance and who he is. Wow. And of course, that set you on a course to just live a increasingly radical, sold out, in love, increasing in authority and power life, right?
And I mean, when you really see him as he is,
yes,
you can, there's no alternative. He's just so magnificently beautiful. And you can feel the love of God just pouring in. And oh, my goodness. Yeah. I can't say enough about that radical, radical intimacy, which, of course, you're well aware of. That radical intimacy produces magnificent fruit all over the world, and especially in your own life.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. As we learn to live in that place that you live in, where we are just abiding in him, and the fruit, as we're just connected to the reality of Christ in us, that fruitfulness of who he is streaming out as authority, right? As authority and transformative power, which you know about, like, and as you've been, you know, moving out with him across the nations. One of the stories, I mean, I want to ask you, like, one of your many, many stories that's really left a mark on you. I mean, one that blew me away that you shared was when you went into the Witch's Coven. Oh my gosh. I mean, just like.
That is
the sovereignty of God. Okay.
But I don't know if we could cover that in 15 minutes.
No. I was going to say that's a huge story.
Actually, when I learned to hear the word of the Lord and recognize that it was really him, I was in a real estate closing one day, and I had just closed a big apartment complex with some people from China. And because we were getting funded from overseas, the closing took a long, long time. And when I came in the morning, I parked way down the street. But when I left, it was almost midnight. And so anyway, I'm walking to my car. In order to get there, I have to pass by a very infamous satanic nightclub. And actually, a bunch of people who met there were from another one of my life messages, the Order of Melchizedek, but it was the Satanic Order of Melchizedek. So in order to even be accepted in that, you have to have done human sacrifices, drunk human blood, eaten human organs. And so when I say it was very, very infamous and evil, it was. Anyway, at that time, I walked out of this closing dressed in a three-piece suit, just dripping with gold and walking down the street. When I walked out, all of these young men out in front started screaming hideous, horrible, diabolically ugly sexual things at me while I was walking down the street. And by that time, I'd been doing deliverance about 12 years. So, you know, confronting evil just didn't affect me much. But I did think to myself, it would be wisdom if I picked up my steps. So I began to walk down to my car, and I heard a voice say, "I want you to go back in that nightclub." And instantly I rebuked the devil. It's amazing how quickly we'll obey when he tells us to do something we want to do, you know?
Yes.
And I said, I start quoting scriptures to the Lord. "Lord, your word says, give me a spirit of wisdom. And this is just not wisdom. And my husband doesn't know where I am." Anyway, I kept walking. The second time he said louder, "I want you to go back in that nightclub." And I said, "Now, Lord, your word says," as if it didn't know the word of God, "wherever two or more of you are gathered," I said, "so how about I come back tomorrow and bring my intercessors and we'll walk around the club?" And I just kept walking. Finally, I got to my car and I reached out to take the handle of my car. And like a trumpet blast, he shouted at me, "Did you tell me you would go where I told you to go, do what I told you to do, say what I told you to say?" "Yes, Lord, but..." I knew I was going to have to go back. So I turned around and I walked back, and outside are these young men, some of them bare-chested, some of them in long black robes. One of them had a huge link chain with human bones wrapped around his neck. Another one had an 8-foot boa constrictor wrapped around his neck and crawling down his arms. They had probably 50 body piercings. Their hair was all spiked up. Some of them were in black leather. Anyway, when I walked back and I was standing there, I kept thinking to myself, well, maybe the Lord doesn't really want me to go in there. Maybe he just wants to know, would I be willing to go in there? So, Lord, I'm here. I'm willing. But where is the ram in the bush? Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, When I walked to the door, these young men started grabbing out and running their hands all over my body. One of them is flicking his tongue in and out of my ear like a serpent. All I could think of is, Lord, you better be in this, or I am in big trouble. When I walked through the door, something happened, which is beginning to happen now to multitudes of people. The whole spiritual atmosphere changed. And all of the singing stopped, all of the joking, all of the laughing stopped, all of the music stopped, and everybody in this place turned around and looked straight at me. And it was probably only for a few seconds, but to me it was like a whole hour. They're like staring at me because obviously here I am dressed in a three-piece suit dripping with gold, and they were dressed in, the men were all black robes. The women were wearing see-through gauze. Their bodies and their faces were all painted white, and they had black, like Cleopatra-type stuff in their eyes. On every table, they had a vase of urine with the cross of Jesus Christ turned upside down in the vase of urine. Anyway, I walked in and I thought to myself, Lord, what in heaven's name am I doing in here? And my thought, which was really a thought, what I call today a limitation, was, oh, if there's only one person in here, you show me that one person, Lord, and I'll take that one person out. But as a deliverance minister, I know that the eyes are the windows of the soul. So I begin to look at their eyes to see, is there anybody in here? Nothing. I mean, all you could see was murder and rape and sexual, all kinds of stuff inside their eyes. And I'm so fixated on their eyes. I couldn't hear, Lord, what am I supposed to do in here? And so he said, walk down to the music stand. And I thought, oh, he's going to make me preach the gospel in here. I just know it, which is also, by the way, a limitation. So I walked down to the music stand and I'm just looking. The musicians actually stepped back and I'm just looking and looking everywhere. Is there just one person? Did you send me in here? Because if there's only one person, anyway, I became so transfixed by their eyes that I finally had to shut my eyes. And when I shut my eyes for the first time, I heard the sound of all creation groaning. And it was like this deep sound, this mourning sound. It was like a living sound. And at first there was one, and it would spike up way high, and then it would come way down deep, and then it would move around me like I was standing in the middle of a tornado. And all of a sudden, the sounds begin to multiply. One sound, 10 sounds, hundreds of sounds. And they're all very, very mournful. And honestly, I forgot. I was so amazed by this sound. I forgot I was in a satanic night. Wow. And I burst into tears and I started crying. And I said, Lord, what is this sound? And he said, even now, all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of the living God, which you are. All you have to do is sound back and they'll come. And I said, sound back? What do you mean sound back? Just sound back. Now, when people ask me about the sound, especially in the early days, the only way that I could describe this sound to them was one time I saw a scientific special on TV, and they were filming the first live birthing of a killer whale. And so they had all of these filmmakers and all of these audiologists had, you know, the submersible audiology thing, because another thing they were trying to prove is that whales and dolphins communicate with one another. So anyway, I was watching this movie, and this is how I explained the original sound that I heard. It was like the whale, the day came and the whale's little baby popped out, and the little baby's got this really high-pitched, joyful, gleeful sound, and it's swimming around its mother, and then it would go out a little bit past her sight, and she would release the sound, and the little baby would hear the sound, and he'd come skittering back, joyful, joyful, happy, just flitting around. On the second day, it was the same. The mother, when the little baby would get out, would sound out into the deep, like deep, calling unto deep, and the little baby comes skittering back. But on the third day, the little baby got sick, and they took the baby away from its mother, and they put it in a concrete, like SeaWorld, containment unit so that they could medicate it. And now, all of a sudden, the sound changed. And this little baby whale would swim around and around and around, groaning and moaning, trying to find the source of its creation. And out in the ocean, the mother would swim around in massive expanding circles, groaning and moaning, trying to find her little baby. But they couldn't find one another because they were separated by a concrete wall. This is the kind of sound that I heard, this moaning, this groaning, just deep, guttural, like deep, calling unto deep, trying to find the source of their creation. By now, I'm crying so hard. I opened up my eyes and I looked and I'm still thinking, Lord, is there just one person in here? All I could hear is, I am the light that lights the whole earth, and the light that lights the heart of every man. And I looked out there and I thought, I don't see any lights in here. All I see is darkness. And what do you mean, sound back? I couldn't understand what he was trying to communicate with me. So, knowing not what to do, I finally just turned around and left. And as soon as I got into the car, the enemy jumps up. Yeah, some great prophet of God you are. You couldn't even make a sound and you could have led that whole club to the Lord. All the way home. By the time I got home, I'm so ashamed because I feel like I have failed the Lord. I could not figure how to make a sound crying deep unto deep that would touch their hearts, because even though they're covered over with dark, hideous, ugly, despicable darkness, in their heart there is a light, which is their spirit, not because I said so, because he said so. So for almost 3 years, I didn't tell anybody because I thought I had completely failed. I didn't tell my husband. I didn't tell my intercessors. I didn't tell anybody because I thought I had completely failed. It was almost close to 3 years later, I was doing a women's conference down in Georgia. And I'm just going around laying hands on people and prophesying, future and all those kinds of things. Anyway, way back in the back was this woman, and over her head opened up a window from heaven, and through this window are charging beautiful, magnificent stallions, which in the realms of the invisible represent power. And when that window opened up, I thought, oh, there's my divine appointment. There's something in that woman. So I worked my way back to her. And when I put my hand on her head, she burst into uncontrollable weeping. And the word of the Lord was very powerful, and not a gift of prophecy word, but a spirit of prophecy word, which is very governmental. Okay. So anyway, after the conference, this woman came up to me and she said, you don't recognize me, do you? And I looked at her and I said, honey, I prophesy over tens of thousands of people a year. Please don't be offended if I don't recognize you. And she goes, well, it's no wonder. I don't look anything like the first time you saw me. And she said, you remember almost 3 years ago when you came into that satanic nightclub? Now, remember, I hadn't told a soul about that. So when she said that, my spirit sat bolt upright in my body. Mm-hmm. Yes. She said, well, I was the high priestess of the coven who was meeting there that night. She said, when you walked down to the music stand, everything inside of me wanted to rip off your head, jump up and drink your blood. And I'm going, oh, okay. I'm certainly glad that didn't happen. But she said, just as I was ready to take action, all of a sudden, you burst into tears. And when you started crying, you disappeared, and a blinding blue-white light appeared in your place. She said, all of a sudden, you turned and you walked out the door. And she said, when that light showed up, I had to cover my eyes. And she said, it was so bright, I thought it was going to burn the cornea right out of my eyes, which is exactly what happened to me when I gave my life to the Lord. She said, I tried to make a crack in my fingers so I could peek out and just see what was happening. She said, when you left and the door shut behind you, I was totally, completely blind. And she said, I asked my friends to take me back to my apartment. And when they took me back to my apartment, of course, they wanted to stay because they realized I couldn't see. And I told them, please, just go away. I just want to be by myself. And as soon as I heard the latch hit on my apartment door, I threw myself down on the floor and gave my life to Jesus. And she said, since that day, I've led almost every member of that cult to the Lord. And anyway, you know, here I am for 2.5 to 3 years feeling guilty because I thought I hadn't obeyed the Lord because I couldn't figure out what he was saying. And in the whole time, he was raising up another voice who could understand what those people were living in and could minister to them in a way that I couldn't. So that was my first encounter with transfiguration. Since then, I've had several of those that are all very, very dynamic. But I will never forget the first time he opened up my ears so I could hear all creation groaning. This is the second book. I don't know if you can see it here.
But, Yes. You have the testimonies in there.
Yeah, the testimonies of many, how to change entire spiritual atmospheres and geographical territories as much as 50 miles in circle from where you're releasing that sound corporately. And so I've been releasing that sound all over the world, and now the body is picking up on it. And what that has produced is all creation is now responding. Yeah. On June 23rd, 2023, all of the scientists, astronomers, and astrologers picked up on a hum that had begun in the universe, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And even members of scientific warring community or nations all are coming together trying to figure out what is this sound. You can get on the internet, and the whole earth is now sounding back. And there are hundreds and hundreds of reports of people hearing weird sounds coming up out of the earth. There is something that measures the earth's magnetic force called the Schumann frequency. And the Schumann frequency has maintained the same exact frequency ever since it's been measurable. But now that frequency is going higher and higher and higher and higher, and nobody can figure out why it's going higher. And the reason is because God is releasing the frequency of love from the sons of God who have been hidden. But now you mentioned the great revealing. Mm-hmm. Now it's the time of the great revealing. And so, as the word in response to his word, all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of the living God. Not only they are groaning, we ourselves are groaning within ourselves. For what? Redemption of the body, which is the restoration of immortality. But it goes on to say, all creation is standing on tiptoe in anticipation and expectation of the revealing of the sons of God. So what's happening now is the frequency of the human consciousness is beginning to be raised, and the earth, who through the Schumann frequency responds to human frequency, is now beginning to be heightened. So many, many of the testimonies that are in this specific book have to do with changing spiritual atmospheres over geographical territories through releasing of a sound.
Yeah. Oh, Nancy, my gosh. It's just stunning. I mean, this is your life. You've been forerunning for what's happening, this great unveiling of the sons of the kingdom. We're coming forth, releasing the sound of our Father. That, like you said, the earth is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed so it can be broken free from its bondage to decay. And I know we could talk for days about all the testimonies that you have. We're going to have to finish there for now. But the testimonies that you share, where you've seen time and time and time again the earth being broken free from its bondage to decay, people being set free who are in unbelievable bondage through Christ in us, the hope of glory manifesting through your life, like you said, shifting atmospheres, changing things, redeeming the redemptive power of who Jesus is, what he's done at the cross, manifest. I mean, oh my gosh. Nancy, thank you for your laid down life, for your transparent walk, the way you share your life with us so we can learn. But, and guys, thank you for giving us your precious time. I know you've all been blown away by all that Nancy shared today. There is so much more for all of us. And it's the time of the great revealing of Christ in us. We're coming forth as the manifest, right? Sons and daughters of God, visible, where the true governmental authority of Christ, visible within us, is beginning to be tangible in the earth, like his love, who he is as a God of love, tangible through us, that eradicates all darkness. So have the most amazing week. I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
We have made warfare so complicated, but it's not. We've been in the mindset quite largely of a big God and a big enemy, but we don't have a big enemy. Our enemy was created by God, and he is now defeated. And because of that, we don't live for victory, we live from victory. Armchair Warfare is all about learning how to live victoriously from the internal seat of rest. You're not just going to learn truths in this course, you're going to be empowered to walk in the fullness of your identity and your authority. You are going to walk in the revelation of who Jesus is as King, and that as King, he now resides inside of you. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he birthed a new creation. Through this course, you are going to enter into the experience of that as your reality.